Hello, my name is Richard MacArthur. I'm running for re-election in Assembly District 4, which is in the northwest part of Las Vegas. I have lived in Las Vegas for 38 years and want Nevada to be a good place to live and work, raise a family, feel safe, and be able to start a business. I support lower taxes, limited government, the right to keep and bear arms, school choice, and voter ID. I'm opposed to sanctuary cities and amnesty for illegals. I humbly ask for your vote in the general election in November. Again, Richard MacArthur, Assembly District 4. Paid for by the committee to elect Richard MacArthur.
I am Jim Marchant, and I'm running for re-election for Assembly District 37. I will vote against any effort to raise your property taxes, against allowing Nevada to become a sanctuary state, against continued efforts to violate your Second Amendment rights, and against school districts being able to levy taxes on you. This is the most critical election in our history, and it is very important that you get out and vote for candidates like me that believe as you do. I am Jim Marchant, and I humbly ask for your support and vote. Paid for by the committee to elect Jim Marchant.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil, a lot of bad people, a lot of bad people, a lot of fake media. Look at them, a lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
You know, it's weird when every news outlet in the country discovers the same piece of news at the same time and my smartphone blows up. Notorious Boston mob boss James Whitey Bulger was reportedly found dead at the West Virginia prison shortly after being transferred there. Found dead. Don't know the details. We'll pass along the details. Be listening. We'll get it. We'll find out what happened. We're 8 days from Election Day, midterm Election Days, and we're urging everybody to early vote. You got the rest of this week to early vote, and then it's on to November 6th. A week from today, Election Day, and I know we zero in on the major parties, the Republicans, the Democrats, because they've got the most money, they have the most visibility. But every so often, it's good to check in with those crazy libertarians. I love the libertarians. You know, a lot of times, it's a true statement, many times I will take a Republican aside. I'll ask them various policy questions, taxation, weed. And you ask a series of about four or five or six questions, and eventually I have to end up telling the Republican, excuse me, you're not a Republican, you're a libertarian. Because most Republicans have some libertarian in them. I mean, I look at Wayne Allen Root. His roots are in the Libertarian Party. And all I have to do is ask about four or five questions of just about any Republican. You'll find that most Republicans have a good deal of libertarian in them. A guy that is running in CD4 for Congress, Greg Luckner, is a libertarian, and he joins us on our City National Bank guest hotline. Greg, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, Greg.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. I want to ask you, and it's a question I ask every candidate that comes on this show. It takes money. It takes a ton of time. It cuts into family time. Why are you running? Obviously, Republicans and Democrats, they got tons more money to throw at a campaign like this. Why put yourself through this?
Well, I think the major reason why I'm running is just to give people another option. I mean, I listened to your introduction, and I do think there are a lot more libertarians out there than they know they are. Especially in this environment with the two-party system, you know, just all negative going at each other, I feel like people really, you know, they want another option. And the Libertarian Party in Nevada has actually been growing while the other parties have been shrinking in terms of registration and just, you know, knowledge out there. So we're trying to get, you know, as many people on board as we can, obviously. Me personally, I've been living out in North Las Vegas for like almost 15 years, and I feel like this is my district. I really feel like, you know, people haven't really represented us, and we need to give people a choice.
I know that one of the things candidates do, whether it's a Democrat, Republican, or a Libertarian, or other third party, is you have to listen to the voters. You've been out, you've walked neighborhoods, you've knocked on doors. In CD4, tell me what people are telling you. What are the issues they really care about?
Well, I mean, I moved to Nevada a while ago because I like the, you know, anything goes, independent spirit, rugged individual mentality it had. And I always say that CD4 is one of the most libertarian districts in the country, with legalized gambling, marijuana, and prostitution. Also, some of the most liberal gun laws. We have a lot of military and ex-military vets out here. But like most of Nevada, we built most of these towns, you know, especially in the rural areas in the desert, out of hard work and pioneering spirit. And I feel like most of the people I've talked to in the rural areas, especially, they just want to be left alone by the federal government and even by Carson City so that they can do their business and they can live their lifestyles the way they want. You know, even in the metro areas, you know, they want less taxes, they want less hindrances to starting their own business. They just want less government interference in general. And I don't think they feel like the candidates that have been going to Washington to represent them have really been helping in that issue or even listening to what their specific issues are here in this district.
Let me ask you, we hear about immigration, we hear about the bombings in Pittsburgh. A lot of different issues are out there right now. Is there one issue, though, that stands out above all that you hear about, whether it's health care or immigration? Is there one issue that stands out when you talk to voters?
I think on a national level, the issues that are specific to Nevada are more along the lines of they want the Schedule I removal of marijuana so that, you know, it's more legal, it's legal federally. They are more interested in VA issues, getting vets more choices. They're definitely interested in health care and education. Those are two issues that are very big out here. And both of those, I feel like, you know, they've been batted back and forth by the two-party system without, you know, really good options, especially without free market solutions that I think I could provide if I was in the Congress.
Again, Greg Luckner joining us, a CD4 Libertarian candidate. What is it like, you know, when it comes to Crescent Hardy and when it comes to Stephen Horsford? They've got literally millions of dollars that they're throwing at this election. I'm guessing you don't have quite that much.
No.
tell me how you compensate and still try and get your message out.
Well, it's obviously it's difficult. I mean, I feel like the whole Libertarian Party as a whole, if we had, you know, a few billionaires out there, you know, and hundreds of millions of dollars like the other parties, we'd actually be, you know, in charge of things, basically. That's how much I think our message is received relative to the amount of money that we spend. You know, whether I win, lose, or draw, I think the main thing is that those tens of millions of dollars that Hardy and Horsford are spending are mostly negative against each other. So if those, you know, if those messages go out and everyone thinks, well, these people just, you know, they're just, they're not good people, they're not representing us, they've both been in office before in the same seat, and they've both been voted out of that office, you know, the only thing I can hope, because I don't have millions of dollars to spend and get my message out there, is that people look at that and they say, well, you know, I'm going to go for the third choice option. I'm going to go for the next person on there, or, you know, somebody that I you know, maybe have heard of. And radio shows like yours and, you know, going out to all the events that I've been going to, at least I've been trying to get the message out there that there is another option.
Let me ask you, because I've seen polls in CD4, and I don't see you beating either Horsford or Crescent Hardy. Do you think you can win? And short of that, what would you hope to accomplish 1 week from today?
Well, the funny thing is, I haven't seen any, regular polls. I haven't seen any, not insider polls that even have me on the list. Like, they don't even put my name, or, you know, there's
others.
Three other people running besides
others.
Me and Horsford and Hardy.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen the polls, but, you know, honestly, I don't expect to, you know, to win. I'd love to, but even if I don't win, like I said, the main thing is to get the recognition out there, to let people know that, you know, we are going to be on the ballot, the Libertarians are going to be on the ballot, we do represent their values, and, you know, we'll do better over time, but, you know, I would just like to be able to make a good showing and, you know, especially for the amount of money that we're spending versus what they're spending, you know, I think we'll get a lot more votes per dollar than anyone else.
And by the way, how much money are you spending?
I don't know specifically, you know, altogether, but, you know, it's more like in the thousands of dollars than millions of dollars.
I was going to ask you, is it more or less than $1 million? And the conventional wisdom would be under $1 million.
Yes.
Well,
definitely under $1 million.
I'm just curious what you're planning for election night. Is there anything big? You're going to be in a ballroom somewhere, or are you going to be at a pizza place?
Yeah, no, we actually have an election night watch party for all the Libertarian candidates. It's going to be at the Tuscany Hotel Casino in the pub 365, I think it is, in a room back there. And we would love for you or any of the press to come by and cover it. We have a number of candidates throughout the state that are running, and a lot in Clark County here. So we'll all be together there watching the results.
Let me just ask you, do you ever see the day, and I know I've talked with Brett Pogunis and others over the last, you know, number of years about the Libertarian Party and how they break through. Do you have any thoughts on how the Libertarian Party can break through? We've been talking for years about how, hey, maybe in a couple of years we can raise some money, we can get some cool candidates, and we can win some seats in Carson City. Tell me how that's going to happen.
Well, I think, like I said, our strategy now is that we're going to run people, and we've got over 1% of the registered voters now, so we're on the ballot, and we can, you know, try and have a slate of candidates. So people are used to seeing, you know, the LPN next to somebody's name on the ballot. Then we've just got to get our name, our recognition out there, which we're doing. We're getting a little more press now. We're gradually working our way into people's, you know, knowledge of what's going on. And I think the two-party system right now, it's so divisive. This is our opportunity, really, because less and less people are signing up to be registered Republicans or Democrats. I mean, yes, and, you know, in a primary situation, sometimes they have to be because of the way we have our primaries. But we're getting more and more people signed up as Libertarians specifically or as independents, and then they're looking at us as an alternative. So it's a gradual process. I mean, we know that it's not going to happen overnight unless we get, you know, some huge infusion of money all of a sudden, and then we can really get our word out there. But as it is, we're you know, making very good strides as we go each year.
We obviously favor a two-party system in this country. I'm not sure where it came from, but the fact is that we've been operating as a two-party system for as long as I can remember, and dating back to 100 years, 200 years. Let me just ask you: how do we need a change of laws to allow more fairness for people like the Libertarian Party? The American Independent Party, whatever the third party would be?
Well, we used to have, in terms of presidential debates, we used to have the League of Women Voters used to do the presidential debates, and they would be much more open to having different candidates in the debates and stuff. What we need is more, I wouldn't say laws, but we need to have more pressure put on the two-party system to be, not in charge of everything. I mean, when it comes to having debates, even on local issues, we have a big problem. Even though we're on the ballot, we have a certain amount of registered voters, we're the largest third party in the country, we still can't get into most of the debates because the two-party system always makes the rules so that you have to have $1 million or you have to have, 20-something percent in the polls. That's the kind of thing we need to change, really, to get the third-party options out there. I think we just need the publicity more than anything else. We need to be able to be included. And like people like Gary Johnson have been fighting in court, and we've won a number of times to get into the national debates. But the two-party system keeps fighting it and keeps, debating it in court, so we can't get in.
Greg, let me ask you, by the way, Greg Luckner joining a CD4 candidate. He's a libertarian, and he is running for CD4 against people like Crescent Hardy and Stephen Horsford. I'm curious, were there debates this election cycle in CD4, and were you a part of them?
No, that's the odd thing, is they didn't even have a debate. And even if they did, they had published some of the criteria, and one of the criteria was you had to raise something like $1 million. I don't know that there's any third parties, especially in a local congressional race like this, that have raised $1 million basically, unless it's a candidate that's a billionaire that's spending their own money basically. So that's the kind of way that they exclude you without having a specific exclusion for third parties. They'll come up with something where they know that the two-party system can afford to do something like that. But like I said, they haven't even had any polls, really, that have me in there. So even if they said I had to be polling at 20%, they would never know because they don't run their own polls. They just go by whatever polls are out there, which don't even mention the third parties.
Wow. Hey, Greg, best of luck. I applaud you for the effort, the time commitment. You lay it all on the line. You know you're probably not going to win, but if folks at this late date want to help you or your campaign, where can they go? How can they help you?
Well, I would appreciate anyone checking out my website at lucknerforcongress.com or on Facebook, Facebook/Luckner for Congress. You can find out more about me, obviously donate, sign up to help as much as we can at this point. I mean, with a week left, I just want to make sure everybody goes out and either early votes or votes on election day if they're registered to vote. And, like I said, if people would like to vote for another option, at least let the two-party system know that there's another option and that people are voting for that and people want change. Then they should vote for me and let it be known, instead of voting for who they think is going to win, vote for who they want to win.
There you go. Thank you so much. Best of luck, and we'll see how you do on Election Day. Greg Luckner, CD4 Libertarian candidate, joining us. Stick around. We're running way late. We just got to talking. As we continue, it is live and local now. Although Republican State Assembly candidate Dennis Hoff passed away just 3 weeks before Election Day, his name is still on the ballot. And if he wins, county commissioners would have to appoint another Republican to serve out his term. That's why Republicans need him to win District 36, to keep Democrats from stealing the seat and getting a supermajority advantage. That would allow them to pass tax hikes and override gubernatorial vetoes. For more information, go to keep36red.com. That's keep36red.com. And let's win this one for Dennis, paid for by friends of Hoff.
Two men, two different paths. Las Vegas politician Steve Sisolak started as a telemarketer, hounding Nevadans with calls during dinner. Then he became a politician, first a university regent, doubling tuition prices on Nevada students. And later as a Clark County commissioner, where Sisolak was called corrupt by a judge, investigated by the FBI. Sisolak has reportedly handed out government contracts to his Las Vegas contributors. Then there's Adam Laxalt. Laxalt served our nation in uniform, volunteered for Iraq, taught at the Naval Academy, became America's youngest attorney general. Laxalt tackled opioid abuse, prosecuted elder fraud, fought for our local land and water rights, and has successfully led the way in protecting our constitutional rights as Nevadans. Sisolak and Laxalt, which one for governor? Sisolak, who has always looked out for himself, or Adam Laxalt, who has always looked out for you? Paid for by Laxalt for Nevada.
Nevada candidate for governor Steve Sisolak wants to prevent you from protecting your home and family from criminals. Sisolak is following the lead of radical anti-gun Senator Dianne Feinstein, whose newest assault weapons ban includes most of the handguns and semi-automatic rifles Americans use to protect them and their families. In fact, Feinstein said if she could, she would ban all guns. And Steve Sisolak is following her lead. That's why anti-gun groups like Everytown USA, funded by Michael Bloomberg, have poured millions of dollars into races for candidates like Sisolak this year. Sisolak's agenda is simple: to ban semi-automatic firearms, allow government bureaucrats to seize your guns without any court hearing, and maintain a government list of every American who owns a gun. That's why Gun Owners of America is proud to endorse Nevada Attorney General Adam Laxalt for governor. Adam Laxalt will defend the Constitution and your right to protect your home and family from criminals. Paid for by Gun Owners of America.
Shouldn't Nevada have a lieutenant governor who is both trustworthy and competent and at least knows what that job is about? Number one, refereeing the conflicts between the Democrats and Republicans. Number two, bringing more tourists to Nevada. Just as no one picks the referee from one of the teams, I, as a nonpartisan, will be fair and objective in breaking tie votes in the Senate. As the only lieutenant governor candidate with international experience, I know how we can double the number of tourists to Nevada. My name is Ed Yuling, paid for by the friends of Ed Yuling.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. This election will impact the direction of Nevada politics for many years to come. During last year's state legislative session, the Democrats nearly passed bills that would have made Nevada a sanctuary state, raised our taxes, increased regulations on our businesses, limited parent school choice, and violated our Second Amendment rights. If we don't elect Republicans throughout the state of Nevada on November 6th, these bills will pass during next year's legislative session. I urge you to vote and vote for Republicans up and down the ballot. And I urge you to vote no on ballot issue question 5. A no vote on question 5 is essential to maintain fair elections. A yes vote opens the door for voter fraud. California has acknowledged that 25,000 people were illegally registered to vote after they passed a similar law. This message has been paid for by the Nevada Federation of Republican Women. To find their club in your area, visit nvfrw.org. That's nvfrw.org.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Coming up, we'll check in 1 week from primary election, midterm elections. Rob Lauer from 360newslasvegas.com will join us. In fact, he's going to be with us in studio. Stick around. We got a whole bunch to do. Jim Yoder will join us from the Coachella Valley, from beautiful Indian Wells. That'll be coming up after 11 o'clock. For those of you that missed it, we will tell you where the president is going between now and Election Day, and it's not Nevada. What can we glean from that? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up live and local now.
You know fans when they say it on. You want 90 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Don't forget this hour of Live and Local Now, brought to you in part by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year, even today. Check it out at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. So much breaking news around us. The president going to Pittsburgh today. Some in Pittsburgh say he should not come. What say you, Rob Lauer? Rob Lauer from 360newslasvegas.com, joining us on our City National Bank guest hotline. Rob, what do you think of this thing about the president going to Pittsburgh? I can't imagine an American president not going to at least help these people grieve.
Well, thanks, Ken. I appreciate the time. And let me just say that the President of the United States, this president of all presidents, has nothing to apologize for whatsoever. He has every right and a duty, and he's doing the right thing by going to Pittsburgh. This president has done more for the Jewish people, more for Israel, more for the American people than any president in the last 30 years. It was this president that moved the embassy to Jerusalem. It was this president that stood by Netanyahu. It's this president that cut off the funding from Iran that has been funding Hezbollah and raining rockets down on Israel. And by the way, it was President Obama who gave billions and billions of dollars to Iran to kill Jews in Israel. That's what was going on. Let's just be frank. When we watch Israel being attacked with rockets, those are paid for by dollars given by President Obama to Iran, period, end of story. So if you want to blame a party in this country, you want to blame people in this country for killing Jews, for killing Israelis, we can look at the other party who's been complacent in their actions and support for killing Jews in Israel by funding the number one terrorist organization in the world, the Iranian government.
Well, and by the way, it was the Obama administration that forced Bibi Netanyahu to come in the back door of the White House. They were embarrassed. They kept him waiting while they were having dinner 2 hours. Left Bibi Netanyahu, kind of cooling his heels. This president, I got to tell you, this president's done great things for Israel. Let me ask you though, the even on the ground in Pittsburgh, some in the Jewish American community are welcoming the president. Others are saying they just as soon he not come at this time, maybe later, but just not now. Is timing a part of this thing?
Well, everything right now is political and hyper-political because of the election. But the President of the United States is certainly going to come. His family has Jewish people in it. He understands this. He's compassionate, and he understands that he needs to be there to comfort them. And let's just be honest. If he didn't come, he'd be accused of being anti-Semitic for not coming. So let's just focus on really what the issue really is here, is that the Democrats, and including President Obama, was accused by Simon Wiesenthal Center in 2016 of abandoning Israel by abstaining on a vote in the UN, which no president has ever done. So this president has stood by in the UN, has stood by here in the U.S., has said he's right, we should be using guns to defend innocent people in temples, in churches, in synagogues across this country. We unfortunately have people out there that are deranged, and we need to use firearms, men with guns at the door to protect innocent lives. And that includes on the border, too. That's another issue we'll get into later. But we need to defend our schools as well. So across the board, we all know that men with guns standing on duty will protect innocent lives. And it works every time it's been tried.
Again, Rob Lauer joining us, 360newslasvegas.com. For those that don't know what this service is all about, can you give us the thumbnail sketch of what 360 News Las Vegas is?
Well, we're a news outlet here in Las Vegas. We have a 3,000 square foot studio. We have TV programs and news on demand. We're kind of like a Netflix news. You can watch us on demand whenever you want. You don't have to wait for the 6 o'clock news. You can get local news, news that you don't get anywhere else. A lot of the local news, frankly, out here is, the reason I started is I used to watch the local news. I won't tell you what channel, but certain channels I'd watch the news and I think, all I'm hearing is a press release from a local government being read to me by an anchor. And I was just sick of the local news. I couldn't stand it. And I thought, there's so much other news out here that's not being reported. And so that was what motivated me, was to get out there in the field, and talk to different people. And I talked to everyone. I talked to left, right, everyone in town. And so I get a different perspective, and I want to bring real stories and bring the truth. And sometimes it ruffles feathers, and I really don't care, because I care about bringing the whole story, the whole truth, all the time.
I just got last night a Trump-Pence Make America Great Again release that outlines where the president is going over the course of the next week. One of the things that stuck out like a sore thumb, he's not coming to Nevada. Is that good news for Republican candidates or bad news?
Well, I think he's been sending his surrogates, and the president was just out here last week. The vice president was out here last week. The president's been out here over and over and over again, more times than I can count any other president done out here in a midterm election. The president has done an amazing job for Nevada and has done an amazing job of supporting our candidates. And let's be clear, we must win our House seats with Preston Hardy and Danny Tarkanian. Otherwise, the president will be impeached if these races are lost. We need to win at all costs and do get all the stops out and get people out to the polls and vote. And I just want to say a side note about Preston Hardy. You know, he was my congressman a couple of years ago before he lost. And I had an issue with the VA, and he stepped in personally and corrected that issue. And so I want to thank him for that. I really stand by him. He's a great congressman. He was a great congressman in office. He did a great job with constituent services, and we need him back there. We really do.
Well, and I was talking with both him and some of his people that for me, Crescent Hardy has been a workhorse, not a show horse. And the trouble is, in Congress, we got too many show horses, not enough workhorses
exactly.
in the 535 members of Congress. This is a guy that doesn't just talk the talk. He walks the walk, and I love guys like this.
He's a rancher. He's a rancher. What does that mean? He gets up at the crack of dawn and works his butt off all day for 16 hours a day to put food on his table for his family, support his family and his ranch. This guy knows how to work hard, and that's why we need to support him. He's a great, great guy, and he's done a great, great work when he was in Congress. And he did the nuts and bolts of what it takes to be a congressman, that's supporting your constituents. And I can tell you personally, he did a great job for me and other constituents and veterans that I talked to. And this is just from personal experience. It doesn't have anything to do with politics. It's just my own personal experience that he did a great job. And I want people to understand that he really cared about our interests and what was best for us.
I want to ask you about a couple of different races. And in fact, there was a great article in the Washington Examiner this morning about the race for the Senate here in Nevada. And the money that's coming in on the Jackie Rosen side is unbelievable. Dean Heller's being outspent 3-1 in the first 2.5 weeks of October. Rosen's campaign raked in $5.1 million or $300,000 per day. Is Dean going to be able to withstand this onslaught? Every other ad you see on TV is a Jackie Rosen or an anti-Dean Heller spot.
Well, these ads have two roles. One is to certainly help Jackie Rosen win. And they're going to pull out all the stops that the other side's going to pull out, every stop they can, every dollar they can, because they see this as a pickup for them, and they need to pull a couple Senate seats somewhere, pick them up, in order to switch the Senate to the Democrats. And the whole entire objective of the Democrats is to stop the president's agenda. That's number one, and that's what this is about. Number two is having a top-of-the-ticket support like they do with Jackie Rosen. And that flows down to the candidates downstream, the Senate, state Senate races, the state assembly races, the congressional races, the governor's races. And by the way, the Democrats are doing, frankly, an amazing job. Let's just be honest and look at what they're doing, because we always look at our side. Their side is doing a great job. They've got 10 campaign offices in Clark County alone. We have none. The Clark County Republican Party has zero campaign offices running. We need to do better on our side, and we need to support our own side and get out there and open these offices and get them running. Let's just be frank. We need to be honest about where we're at on both sides.
I know that you've seen the same public polling I've seen. You may have seen some private polling that I have not had access to, and I'm curious what you think of the Danny Tarkanian and Susie Lee race. Is Danny running ahead? Is he running behind? And what's it going to mean in this final week?
Well, I think certainly Susie Lee has unlimited funds, unlimited money, and Danny is going to have to work for every vote that he's going to get. But Danny's been around. He knows what he's doing. He's got a machine now. He's got great people running his campaign. He only lost that race by 1,000 votes 2 years ago in a presidential election. And that was just, frankly, because they ran dirty, nasty, lying ads. So I think he does have the advantage in this election because of his experience, his crew, and because first of all, is an unknown. That's another thing. Danny is a known name. So Danny's got name ID that's super strong in that district, and I think that gives him the edge.
Let me ask you about Crescent Hardy and Stephen Horsford. Somebody in Washington wants this guy to get elected. We've had Ronna McDaniel. We've had the vice president. We have all kinds of people coming through here. We had Eric Trump come in yesterday and Lara. What is going on in that race? And is somebody seeing that that race is like really close? Is that what's happening? Really close.
That seat is always going to be a swing seat just because of the way it was drawn 8 years ago. That seat was drawn to be a Democratic seat, to be honest. Let's just be honest. And Carson Hardy won 4 years ago because there was low turnout. And so this time around, Carson Hardy has the name ID coming in because he was a congressman there. He's got money from the Republican Party. He's got his own support from the vice president. So everyone in Congress sees this as a swing seat, and everyone's going to fight tooth and nail for this seat.
I got to ask you about the gubernatorial race. Obviously, Adam Laxalt in the fight of his life against Steve Sisolak. The public polling we've seen shows him up 3 to 5 points. Where do you see this race going in the final week? And has anything in this race surprised you?
The governor's race is all going to be about two things. One, it's about turnout. And right now the Democrats are leading in turnout by about 7,000, 8,000 votes. I haven't looked at the latest numbers, but last time I looked, there was about 7,000 or 8,000 more people turning out. And so that certainly is a problem for Laxalt. Number two, we have to talk about Bundy. Bundy's out there. He's in the rural. He's got 80, 90% name ID. And he could pull 4, 5, 6 points from Laxalt, and that could be the difference between victory and defeat for Laxalt. So Laxalt needs to do his best right now to basically go out there and get Bundy voters to vote for him. That's what he needs to be doing, is getting those, curing those. It's easier to get Bundy voters to vote for Laxalt than to get Sisolak voters to vote for Laxalt. So that's the easy pickup for him, is to go out there, appeal to those people, appeal to maybe even appeal to Bundy and try to get some more support from that and get those votes. He can't afford to lose those 5, 6 points. He can't. And that's what I'm seeing going on. And I see that in my county. I see that in the rurals. But, you know, let's just be honest. Laxalt needs to be strong in the rurals. He's not going to win Clark County. It's just not going to happen with Steve Sisolak being the chairman of the Clark County Commission, being here for a decade. He's got a power base, a machine, political machine here in the county. So Laxalt can pick up votes here, but he certainly is going to have to win and compete in the rurals. That's where he's going to be able to get the majority of his votes to win this election.
In our final minutes, there may have been people that weren't with us a couple of weeks ago when we talked about this, and this whole notion that that there could have been some sort of meeting of the minds to get Bundy out of the race. Can you talk a little bit about what you know about that?
Sure. Back in July, so as a reporter, I talked to everyone. I talked to Ryan Bundy. I talked to Sisolak. I talked to every politician in town all the time, Republicans, Democrats, everyone. And the obvious question I had for Ryan on the phone one day in July was, what would it take for you to get out? Would you consider getting out if what would it take? And he said, well, you know, I would appreciate a meeting with Laxalt. He came to my house and talked to him man to man and assured people that he would support and defend Nevada's rights, that he would consider getting out. And so we passed on that message and asked Laxalt to give him a call. And that's the last I heard of it. I don't believe Laxalt followed up or followed through and called him or set up a meeting. And so that's the last I've heard of it. Nothing came of that. But certainly that could have been instrumental in this election had Bundy gotten out of the race and thrown a support with Laxalt. That could be the difference right here at the last few days going in the race. So it could have made a big difference. It still could. I mean, that still could happen. Laxalt could still call and reach out and invite Bundy to come over and talk to him. I mean, that could still do it. So,
Are you surprised, though? Because that should have been an easy exercise for the Attorney General to be able to go out to the Bundy Ranch and just break bread with him and say, okay, fine. What he's asking for is just protect our rights, which is what the governor and the attorney general usually do.
Right, right. And let's just be honest, Laxalt has done a great job as attorney general in defending land rights with the federal government. He's done a great job on that. So let's just be honest on that, too. However, from Bundy's point of view, Bundy feels that he left him in jail for 2 years without lifting a finger, as you said, quote unquote, to help him get out of jail.
Yeah.
But the attorney general's position is he didn't have any say over that's the federal government. He had no say over that. So there's two sides to this. There's always two sides to this kind of thing. But I think the bottom line is I think Bundy just wanted to sit down and assurances and that he would have most likely gotten out of the race. At least could have been, I think he could have been convinced to step aside and support Lack. That's just my own gut feeling.
Wow. So. Hey, Rob, if folks want to check out 360newslasvegas.com, where do they go? When are you guys broadcast? When can they find your stuff?
Well, that's a great question. Thanks. We're at 360newslasvegas.com. We're also on Roku. We have a Roku channel. We have an Amazon channel. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. We have so we're everywhere. We're kind of like Netflix. You can watch us on demand when you want. You don't have to wait till 5 o'clock to catch the news. You can watch our news and our shows and stuff whenever you want on demand. We have a lot of different shows, a lot of different people on our shows. We have Megan Barth, by the way. She does a rant with us once a week and comes on our shows all the time. We're coming out with a new show next month called Vegas Foodie TV. In fact, we're in the studio right now filming an episode for next month. We've got several episodes in the tank, and that's going to be a great show. That's going to be restaurants where we invited cooks and owners of local restaurants, independent restaurants, to come in and cook the dish. And you get to not only watch it, but you can actually go down to the restaurant tonight and eat the dish. And,
I love that.
Or order it on Grubhub, which you can't do on TBS or any of the other networks or the cooking channel. With us, with our Vegas Foodie TV, you can actually go to the restaurant tonight and eat that shepherd's pie or whatever we're making.
I love that idea.
I love it, too, because I'm getting to taste a lot of great food from great chefs around town.
Is that why you spend more time in the office lately?
Well, you caught me.
I know. Hey, Rob, always good, man. We'll talk to you again soon. You have a good one, okay?
You too, Kevin. Thanks so much.
There you go. Rob Lauer joining us from... He is spending more time in the office because they're cooking every day. Unbelievable. That's 360newslasvegas.com. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Tuesday. It is live and local now.
Hey ladies, come out this Thursday night, November 1st at 5:30 p.m. for our Ladies Night Self-Defense Firearms Class. Don't be a victim. Learn how you can protect yourself. This is the most realistic, dynamic, intense training available. We use military simmunitions, so get ready to fight. But hurry, we only have 30 spots. The cost is only $10, and we will be giving away a CCW purse. So sign up now at myselfdefense.info. That's myselfdefense.info.
Nancy Pelosi is trying to take over Nevada. Do I have your attention? Hey, Kevin Wall here with a very important message for all Nevadans. If you want to stop Nancy Pelosi and elitist out-of-state liberals from invading our state, you've got to get out and vote for Danny Tarkanian. Danny is the Trump-endorsed conservative candidate for Congress. He's a fighter, offering real solutions for Nevada families. Solutions like school choice. Danny believes that you as parents deserve a say in how your tax dollars are spent and which education system is best for your children. And Danny will work hard with President Trump to finally secure our borders. For our safety and security, it's an absolute must. In Congress, Danny will strengthen our country and our state by supporting the America First agenda that's already making America great again. Congress has been broken for a long time, folks, and that's why we need Danny Tarkanian's common sense approach. He'll get things done in Washington. I urge you to do the right thing for Nevada and for America and support our friend Danny Tarkanian for Congress.
I'm Danny Tarkanian, and I approve this message, paid for by Tarkanian for Congress.
The U.S.-Mexican border is overrun by Mexican drug cartels, drug trafficking, human trafficking, sex trafficking, illegal immigration, and violence. President Trump asked governors in the Southwest to send National Guard troops to the border to help out just until he builds a wall. Adam Laxalt said if elected governor, he will refuse President Trump's request to send Nevada National Guard troops to the border. But Ryan Bundy will work with President Trump and defend our border. Vote Ryan Bundy for Nevada governor. Paid for by Ryan Bundy for Governor campaign.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. This election will impact the direction of Nevada politics for many years to come. During last year's state legislative session, the Democrats nearly passed bills that would have made Nevada a sanctuary state, raised our taxes, increased regulations on our businesses, limited parent school choice, and violated our Second Amendment rights. If we don't elect Republicans throughout the state of Nevada on November 6th, these bills will pass during next year's legislative session. I urge you to vote and vote for Republicans up and down the ballot. And I urge you to vote no on ballot issue question 5. A no vote on question 5 is essential to maintain fair elections. A yes vote opens the door for voter fraud. California has acknowledged that 25,000 people were illegally registered to vote after they passed a similar law. This message has been paid for by the Nevada Federation of Republican Women. To find their club in your area, visit nvfrw.org. That's nvfrw.org.
The Moving Wall, the traveling Vietnam Veterans War Memorial, will be in Las Vegas Thursday, November 1st through Sunday, the 4th, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. each day. The 3,400-foot half-size replica is open to the public and free of charge. Join dignitaries and Vietnam groups 11:45 Friday and 11:45 Saturday, a full turkey luncheon served to all veterans from all wars in service. I'm Jacob Jimerson on behalf of the Jimerson Law Firm, sponsor for this war memorial, inviting you to the memorial site 500 South Las Vegas Boulevard next to the Nevada Supreme Court building.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Don't forget that all in-studio guests on Live and Local now receive a bottle of Real Water. With Real Water, you can hydrate like never before. How do they do it? Well, since Real Water is alkaline with an 8.0 pH and negative ionized, it can help your body to restore balance and reach your full potential. Real Water, it's available right now. Terrible Herbs gas stations all across the state of Nevada and in participating Valley Meat Markets in Indio for the everyday low price of $2 for $3. Want to save even more money? Try realwaterhomedelivery.com. That's realwaterhomedelivery.com. Let's go to Ben. Ben, you're up. I got a minute before the news. What's going on?
Kevin, I just wanted to endorse what you're saying about voting early, and if I could take a few seconds to tell you what happened to me for the primary. I never received a sample ballot, and then when I went to the place to vote that I've been voting at for over a quarter of a century, there was a sign on the door of the school, "No voting here today." Well, I was about in a panic. I had no idea where I was supposed to vote, but somebody graciously went in on their computer and got me a phone number, and I was able to call from my cell phone and find out where to vote. But I think everybody should vote early.
It takes the worry. You know what it is? It takes the worry out of being close, like the old commercial. You don't have to be scrambling on election. You mean that's not the location for my voting? Oh my God! What do I do now? I'm just telling you. You want to get it out of the way. You can enjoy election day with the rest of us early voters. We don't have to worry about facing long lines, doing it over our lunch hour. Can I get back in time? Am I going to miss that 1 o'clock meeting? Don't have to worry about it. Early vote. Do it now. Do it today. Stick around, more to do as we continue. Jim Yoder will join us from the Coachella Valley, Indian Wells, as we continue Live and Local now. Nevada candidate for governor Steve Sisolak wants to prevent you from protecting your home and family from criminals. Sisolak is following the lead of radical anti-gun Senator Dianne Feinstein, whose newest assault weapons ban includes most of the handguns and semi-automatic rifles Americans use to protect them and their families. In fact, Feinstein said if she could, she would ban all guns. And Steve Sisolak is following her lead. That's why anti-gun groups like Everytown USA, funded by Michael Bloomberg, have poured millions of dollars into races for candidates like Sisolak this year. Sisolak's agenda is simple: to ban semi-automatic firearms, allow government bureaucrats to seize your guns without any court hearing, and maintain a government list of every American who owns a gun. That's why Gun Owners of America is proud to endorse Nevada Attorney General Adam Laxalt for governor. Adam Laxalt will defend the Constitution and your right to protect your home and family from criminals. paid for by Gun Owners of America.